We got through it. We did it.
Yep. Whew. It happened.
Thanksgiving, I mean.
I know.
Not the podcast.
I survived well. My family did not talk about politics once.
Oh, wow.
It was really a nice time.
Yeah.
I was actually hoping for a little more drama.
Yeah, I almost brought up Kyle Rittenhouse just to have something to talk about with my family. Because it was just, the meat's good. I like this meat. I like this sauce.
Is that canned cranberry?
That was it. Yeah. Didn't go anywhere. Yeah. But no news is good news, I guess, when it comes to that.
Yeah, we're really living it together. All of us. With our families.
Yeah, that's right. We're done with that, and now it's on to the next thing, which I guess is presents.
Yeah, holiday season times.
Yeah, they're coming. Chanukah is in like a week.
Yeah, that's what I heard. My nephews all celebrate. They're all, so this was really great. All of my nephews are in their moody teen years. So we did the family photo and they're all looking like real, real just pissed off, but just kind of like eye rolling as well. And after I took the picture, my nephew James, who was like, how do I look in it? I was like, you look kind of like annoyed. And he was like, I just want to make sure my face is pissed off enough. I'm like, you have resting pissed face. Don't worry. He was really checking himself out to be sure that he looked really disinterested.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He wanted to be sure that he looked like he didn't care.
Huh. That's so interesting because I look mad all the time just because of my bulldog jowls and my...
Stop that. You do not.
My drooping.
You do not.
Various droops. Face droops. Yeah, I would love to look naturally happy, but I have to force myself, actually. I was recently on another podcast. I forgot the name of it.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, give us a headshot. And I'm like, okay. So my friend Andy, who was on another podcast with me, took a picture of me. And I have to force half of my smile to go up.
Really?
Because it just doesn't. Otherwise, I look like one of those happy, sad faces, like the drama mask, you know?
Oh. Like
the performer is actually crying on the inside.
Oh.
Half and half, sort of yin-yang.
So when you feel happy, you think you actually look sad?
Half my face does, and the other half looks...
Like you stroked out sadness?
I might have stroked out sadness. Stroked out sadness. That's going to be the name of my emo core.
Yeah.
And is that real thing? Emo core?
It is today.
Hardcore mixed with emo.
It's thinking. SOS.
Shit out of suck?
No, stroked out sadness.
It's even better.
You boob.
Yeah. Yeah, I lost the script on that one, but we got it back.
We sort got of. Through it.
Something happened. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of Talking to Women About Video Games. We are going to talk a little bit about video games. We might even talk about Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop.
It's what people want to talk about the most.
I know.
This is mostly a video game show, and Cowboy Bebop I don't think has ever been a video game, or if it was, it was not a video game that I've ever played and didn't get big wide release here in the United States of America.
Right.
So
maybe it will become one now.
Maybe, but this new Netflix show, people are not liking it.
I tried to watch it for a little bit, but I really have a hard time focusing in on shows, period.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't last very long for me. I was thinking about the next stuff I had to do.
You're watching a show called Sex Life of College Girls.
Yeah.
Girls having sex.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm in college. Sex times.
I guess that is a premise for a show. So you're sort of watching that, but that's because you knew one of the performers in it.
I know one of the cast members. It's really awesome.
Pretty fun. Yeah, Sex Life of College Girls and Cowboy Bebop TV is on there, but we'll switch it over to video games now. We're going to talk a little bit about Activision. See what you think of that.
I know what I think.
Oh. division. You're acting like a shit-burned house. You're not seeing what life is really all about. So, Activision, you already know what you're thinking about Activision.
Yeah, I just...
What do you think?
What's the guy's name?
Bobby Kotick? Kotick?
Yeah,
he's... Kotick.
He was called to resign.
Yes, he has been called to resign. And this was, I want to say, a week ago. Mm-hmm. And in response to the calls to resign, he said, well, we're putting together a new committee that's really going to take a look at this. I mean, that's what we need is a committee to look at it.
I mean, I got to tell you, I've made committees. I've been part of committees. It's something you put on your resume that you were a co-chair.
Of the committee?
So, yeah, something like that. But let me ask you, who called on him to resign?
Oh, so I'll dial it back a little bit. I'll take you back in time a few weeks.
Yeah.
There's been an ongoing lawsuit against Activision by the state of California for various things. And there was walkouts. There was all sorts of stuff. This was, geez, I think we're talking more August, September, October at this point. And then it kind of died down in the news, and people just say, yeah, I'll just go back to playing the video games. But then there was sort of a breakthrough where it was found that Bobby Kotick, the guy who runs Activision, actually knew about some specific sexual assaults, some women who worked at...
Like at their big fancy parties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some women that worked there. I think it was at least one woman. It might have been two in 2016, 2017, so not long ago. Reported, yeah, I was, my boss was trying to get me drunk. They raped me, and I reported it to HR, and nobody did anything.
It's a real casting room couch sort of situation, isn't it? Like this whole, you know, being a woman trying to get into AAA games development, I'm sure it felt like, well, I have to look a certain way or be a certain way just to get involved in this stuff. And then once you kind of get there, now you're being told you need to...
Yeah, I think a lot of the time it happens that way. I think that Activision doesn't make games about being nice to people.
Right.
That's not how they make their money. Activision, interestingly enough, they started, if I remember correctly, folks who had worked at Atari who were mad that the artists... This might have been Electronic Arts, actually, but it might have been both of them. A lot of people left Atari to start their own companies, Electronic Arts, Activision, so the artists could be put first for a change and be put in the credits and be treated with respect. And it wasn't all just about churning out games to make money. But as so often is the case, eventually the people who love making money the most and therefore usually care about people the least end up being the ones who run the show, because they're the ones who are willing to do whatever it takes to get to the top, you know, no matter who it steps on or who they rip off or whatnot. And that seems to be the case with Activision. This Bobby Kotick guy knew about these allegations and said, I've never heard of it. Covered him up, didn't tell the board about it.
Woof.
Said it never happened. And now it's all been revealed that he knew the whole time. And before this, he had done some damage control. He said, I'm only going to get paid $50,000 a year. He's a billionaire already, but said, I'm dropping my pay.
I still need some. I still need 50K, though.
Well, according to him.
My car payment.
He said, that's the lowest I could legally go under the state of California laws. I'm not allowed to be paid less than that. There's some law, I guess, in California that says if you're a CEO, you still need to get paid more than a school teacher or something. But... of course, the reality is he could have taken even less money if he resigned and just didn't do the job at all.
Yeah.
But he's not doing that. So.
So he's staying.
So far. So this was a week and a half ago or something. The Wall Street Journal and all these other places reported that he knew about the sexual assault allegations, the rape allegations.
And can I pause you for a second there just to understand?
Sure.
How do they say he knew about it? Did emails come forward or?
Yeah, there was documentation of some.
You can conversation look up, or?
Yeah, Wall Street Journal talked to the women and there was, I believe it
like
was
a
the
text
Wall Street Journal.
That he, you know, was complicit or.
It was just... in print that he knew. And then it was also in print that he didn't tell the board. And then a couple of people on the board have asked for him to be resigned, but not the majority of the board. And then Microsoft, I think, came out first. Phil Spencer, who's been saying NFTs seem exploitive. And
wow.
Yeah, he's suddenly being like a normal guy instead of just a... and people have said, he's the best guy in video games. I'm like, he is a normal guy who doesn't always put money first, which is neat.
Which surprises me, considering the Xbox is like a really big AAA...
It's a big AAA brand. It's not known as like a humanitarian brand exactly, but they actually have done a lot for accessibility for folks who have physical handicaps, who have accessibility issues to games. They created like a really cool accessibility first controller that
cool.
was
cool.
Yeah, they've actually, and this is, I hate to sound so cynical, but they've been getting their ass kicked by Nintendo and Sony in sales for a couple of generations now, so they're like, guess we got to try extra hard to get people to like us. And it's kind of working, at least in terms of PR. So they were the first one to say, like, yeah, we think Bobby should resign. And maybe we won't work so closely with Activision until they do that. And then Nintendo came out with an internal email saying they're deeply disturbed by what's going on at Activision. And they're figuring out how to work with the ESA, which is this big video game board committee, if you will.
And another committee.
Yeah.
So it's Nintendo doesn't work a lot with Activision, though, right?
Well, they work with them on their lighter side games, like mm-hmm. Crash Bandicoot. Bash Candy Boot. But Boot, there was definitely something horny in there somewhere. Yeah.
The booty cram the booty coot.
Cram the booty coot. The okay. coot!
You crazy old coot.
Yeah, but it's also, don't they call it like the yeah, vagina?
Yes, that's why I said
a coochie.
Yeah, a coot. A cooter.
A cooter!
Yeah.
Totally forgot about cooters and coochies.
It's so middle school.
I guess
that's
so.
That's why. Yeah. Crash Bandicoot.
It does have a lot of sex in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Booty crash and coots.
So Activision is treated the company within Activision that makes the Crash Bandicoot games. I think they're called Toys for Bob for some reason.
Huh.
They have a lot of names. They were Naughty Dog for a little while, but now it's Toys for Bob, I think. I've never liked Crash Bandicoot. I think it's worthless. I think it's worthless trash.
Is it just a bad video game?
No, it's a fine. It's just totally average. It's like we were talking earlier about horror movies. You were saying, oh, one of these days we're gonna watch The Nun. It's so bad, but I'm like, no, it's just fine. I like a really, really bad horror movie called Fury of the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's Italian. It starts off. The first line is, "When the heliotrope grow among rough rocks." You're like, that's the first. And it's narrator. The narrator is telling
you. The narrators are the best. You like things that are bad because they are so laughably wild. Mm. And like, why? Who made this script? And,
yeah.
and why did they select those words?
So interesting.
You're so interested in the people who make the decisions.
I am. And the genuine spirit that comes through in an idea that's so bad that nobody would do that unless they were compelled to do it by some force, some driving spirit that can't be...
Some horror manifestation taking over their screenwriting hands.
Yeah! Otherwise, somebody would say no. But, you know, it all comes together. So Crash Bandicoot has never been bad. But it's never been, like, amazing. It's always just been, like, totally
I need to understand
fine.
About it a little bit more.
I guess so. Just, like, picture the Tasmanian devil.
Yep.
Make him smile. Give him, like, thigh muscles and pants. He's like a little bit built. He's like sort of like a T-shaped bodybuilder guy, but he's got no neck.
Hmm.
Just goes straight from neck into like, whoa, I'm wacky cartoon character. Hmm. And he just spins around and jumps. They made like 50 of them.
Does he knock down things? Does he collect
Sure.
things?
Yeah, just like you do. You know, if you...
And do you go like, what is it game when you go across the screen?
Oh, side scroller.
Yeah. Is it like that?
No, it was like the first one was, get a load of us. We're working in three dimensions now. So you start at the top of the screen and go up. You're
Whoa.
Scrolling up. And I'm like, that's worse. Like, it's much harder to see when I'm supposed to jump and
right,
how to
land. Right, because you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
It's out of
screen. Like, you can do it. It's just as more work to figure out what you're doing. This is just to show off the 3D-ness. Yeah, so never been a Crash Bandicoot. Love Crash Bandicoot's former Sony co-mascot, Parappa the Rapper, and we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Maybe later.
Okay.
Anyway, people haven't liked Activision for a while. That's where I was going with that. The way they treated the Crash Bandicoot series, the way they've treated a lot of people.
Quickly call out for me a couple big name games from Activision.
I think they're Call of Duty.
Okay.
I think they're that one. I think that they are River Raid. They haven't made a new River Raid since 2016. Yeah, I don't keep track.
Okay.
They're so middle of the road. They are so, like, I love going to McDonald's for the French fries.
Yeah, me too.
The burgers are all right. But the burgers, even at their best, are like, this is kind of an average burger. This is a burger that's made to please everybody a little bit. It's got a lot of salt on it. It's sort of cooked.
It's like Chris Pratt in movie films. I mean, he's not the worst.
And that's Activision.
And he's certainly not the best, and he's kind of shitty.
Yeah, they're fast food of
fast games. Fast food of video games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they don't do anything as interesting as GTA. GTA, while far from my favorite and is also junk food, it's at least kind of interesting junk food. They take some risks.
And it seems like they really are expansive about how they, like you could go to different corners and find things of intrigue.
Yeah, they try to add little details and stuff like that, which is now kind of the standard, but for a while it wasn't. Anyway, people have wanted Activision to stop for a while the way they're doing it. Bobby Kotick would cut staff and then give himself a bonus, even though the company made all this money, said they didn't make enough money, and just really heartless, mean stuff for like a decade. And finally, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft are all saying they don't necessarily want to work with them anymore. And now just radio silence. They made the committee, and then Bobby Kotick did say, I'm going to stay on to try to fix it. And if I can't fix it, maybe I'll quit. But that's another way of saying, I'm going to spend a month or two to see if I can spin this in a way so it looks like I fixed it. And
do you know what they need?
What's that?
They need a female boss who's a great leader, who has great PR skills and is likable, that they're going to pay lots of money to. And do you know who that person could be?
Who's that?
It could be me.
You know, it's so funny you would say that, because
somebody to really turn things around for them, shake it up.
Yeah, it's so hard, I think, to prove that you have the business acumen and the savvy, the instincts, and also the understanding of the processes and the real know-how to make a company like that run. It's very hard to prove it, because the only way to prove it is to do it, and the only way to do it is to have first proved it. So you got to.
How about you don't rape the women in your company? That's the only change really needed.
There's a lot of changes.
Okay.
But that could help out. That would be a big one. But the fear, as I think you know, is that if you get somebody in there who doesn't care about money first, if you get someone who cares about people just as much as money, then they're not going to make as much money. And I hear people say this all the time with the way they vote. They say, well, I voted for the nice guy or gal 4 years ago, and I thought it would be good for the poor and whatever. But now I'm feeling like voting for the rich guy who's just going to make me some money because my stocks took a hit or whatever. So I'll make that money for 4 years. Then I'll go back and vote for the nice guy. People flip-flop all the time. This is why we...
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I keep coming back to is that there's so much global visibility and things like this that they have a real opportunity to decide to tap into like different market areas, that they don't have to be just these big assholes. They could they could see that different game developers who do smaller shit, they could make them be huge if they just put a little bit of ingenuity into into it. I don't know, but that's not their business model.
Yeah, and you're speaking in the choir. I think we talked about it on the last episode a little bit, how you look at the biggest games out there, Roblox, Minecraft, it's all totally different than what the AAA model is about. And it makes way more money, but it doesn't make sense to the business guys to make games that's just about creativity and exploration and sharing. Like, they're like, what are those words even mean? They know, like, competitive, murder the other guy, looting, get war. The loot. Loot box, get that loot and take it in the box and get it.
Check out all your different guns.
Yeah, that's
you
how...
You got 37 different guns.
And that's how they think. That's how they approach business, and that trickles down into their game design styles, and it's not the most profitable.
Is it a lot of first person player stuff?
Yeah, third person too, just as long as it's violent. It's very... Huh. Just simplistic. Everyone likes to shoot. Everyone likes to punch, right? Well, actually, you look at Roblox and Minecraft, and millions of people are not shooting or punching anything. It's just as intuitive to build as it is to break something. Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. It just seems sort of niche, they say. Huh. Even though it's hundreds of millions of people playing it.
So many people.
Yeah. It's not okay. So I did actually have an idea about who should run Activision, and it's somebody who I think is actually a lot like you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it you?
No. It's Jammer Lammy.
Who's that?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Fuck Bobby Kotick. Fuck Bobby Kotick. No.
So you haven't heard of Jammer Lammy,
Tanya? I feel like maybe you've mentioned... I don't even know if this is a real human being.
It's not a real human being, okay. That's for sure. Okay. Jammer Lammy, ugh. So we were talking about video games, which ones are popular, which ones were big. Sony, PlayStation games, how Crash Bandicoot... I alluded to the fact that for a little while, Crash Bandicoot was the unofficial mascot for Sony.
Mm.
He was a Sony PlayStation exclusive at the start. Nintendo had Mario, Sega had Sonic, Microsoft wasn't in the game yet, so Sony was like, we'll have Crash Bandicoot and a little rapping dog with an orange hat on with a frog on it. So it was a dog that wears a frog on his hat, big jeans, big JNCO jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And a blue t-shirt, and his name's Parappa the Rapper. Parappa the Rapper.
Huh.
PlayStation 1. And just the most surreal, darling, sweet but strange game made by true weirdos, a company called Nana Oncha. And they love music. They put music first. They love art. They hired this fine artist named Rodney Allen Greenblatt.
Wow.
Who I interviewed forever ago, and then I lost the interview. I think I was still in college.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, it was really good. He didn't tell me much, but the stuff he told me still blew my mind about a giant caterpillar that's pregnant, that wants to get girls pregnant. I'm going to tell you about that in a second.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
Thanks for keeping up with me. So Parappa the Rapper, a classic. And they made Parappa the co-mascot for PlayStation with Crash because Sony actually owns Parappa the Rapper, so it made a little more sense. Parappa wasn't as big in the United States, but in Japan, Parappa was a sensation.
Oh.
And got his own cartoon show. I bought some Parappa socks and a Parappa dish towel when I was in Tokyo 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
Just at the hotel.
Oh, that's so fun.
It wasn't like I had
fun.
To go to some weird shop. It was just like, oh, yeah, we've got Hello Kitty stationery. We've got some, you know, Star Wars stuff. And there's Parappa, just as big as any of those other names in Japan. Big
that
deal.
That is so awesome.
It was
you
awesome.
You must have been so excited.
I was extremely. I kept all that stuff and tried to keep it clean, too. I look at it pretty regularly. But Parappa is a guy, and his motto is, I gotta believe.
I gotta believe.
It's exactly right. So he gets into a situation. He's like, oh, how am I going to deal with this? I want to get my girl, Sunny Funny. I want to impress her. Oh, no, I'm out on a date. And I ate too much fish cakes. He makes a cake out of fish and shrimps and stuff. It's
okay.
a whole other story. Brings it out on the date. He's eating it. Upsets his stomach. He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. How do I do it? I know. I gotta believe. And then he gets in line and has to hold it. He's got to believe in himself.
Wait, this is what people put in video games?
It's an amazing... I used to play this video game like every day. I could beat it in one sitting and I still played it anyway. It's maybe a 25 minute long game. It's 6 or 7 songs. Each one's like 3 minutes long. So maybe more like a half hour. I'd bring it over on dates. The date would be like, oh yeah, let's make out or let's talk about cool stuff. Let's talk about whatever
Sting.
Guy. Yeah, let's talk about Sting. Let's talk about pickup trucks. Let's talk about sports. And I'm like,
you like football? And you're like, let's talk about holding in your shit with Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Who's got to believe? And they were like, who is this fucking guy?
Yeah, exactly. Never like seen it. Again. Never. One date and I'm out. I need to go just as bad as you. What I had this morning, I don't even want to say to you. That's a rap lyric by an onion.
And so you were empathizing with this game and expressing it to your date in real time.
Oh yeah, I was wanting to connect over this. This is the
you're
kind
like,
of stuff.
Look, we're on a date, and I feel this way sometimes on.
Well,
I don't know.
I didn't go that far, but sure, absolutely. I think that there was definitely a part of me that felt like I was sort of pregnant with a anxious poop of the soul.
Where right, I was like, how am I going to fit in with this chick?
Yeah, they're never going to. So it's uncomfortable when you know this girl's probably not going to like me because I'm a super nerd. So I'm squirming in my seat a little bit. If I could just get the relief. And when he sits on the toilet, you know what Parappa says?
What does he say?
Ah, this is life. Like,
wow.
No, this is the life. Or
it's just
life. This is life. Yeah, so real.
Oh, God.
Such a real moment.
I feel like that every day.
On the toilet? Or just in
just
general?
Just in general.
I know, life is real,
isn't
it? I'm
just like, this is the real life I'm living.
You're living the real life. So, Parappa, a darling, loved in Japan, liked in the United States, well known, but sort of a Mary Sue, I gotta say it. He just gets through every problem through believing. He's not the kind of character who has a ton of depth or pros and cons to him. It's just 100% positivity, which is nice. But for the follow-up, instead of just doing a straight-up Parappa 2, and this is where I'm getting to Umjay Mirlami.
I was going
to
say, where
who should run
does...
Activision.
Yeah, okay.
Umjay Mirlami, unlike Parappa, plays guitar. She jams.
Oh, it's a lady.
And she's a lady. I don't think she's straight for boys. I think she's in love with a cat named Catty Cat.
Okay.
They're in a band together called Milk Can.
No.
Yep, and the drummer's named Ma-chan, I think. It's been a while since I've thought about
sometimes
the drummer.
Sometimes you tell me stories and I don't believe you.
Yeah. Umjay Mirlami was a more fully fleshed out, resonant character whose trials and tribulations had more meaning to me, and I think would have more meaning to Activision if they were to get someone like her in charge. And I'm wondering if you're going to relate with Umjay Mirlami. I'm going to tell you about her a little bit. She plays guitar.
Yep.
And is willing to play guitar at any time. She loves playing guitar. That's her instrument where she feels free, where she feels like she's in control. But when she has to face a challenge verbally, when she has to put herself out there and take control of a situation and tell people what to do or change things through a direct action, she oftentimes becomes underconfident because she's not a narcissist. She's not all about herself. She tries to believe like Parappa, but she also is thinking, oh no, what if I screw this up? Because she really cares. That's where the comes in.
Hyper self-critical.
Yep. Yeah. So she says, So jammer, guitar, lammy, she's a lamb. She's got lamb horns. So whirlwind.
Yeah.
So in her first level, Lammy has to play a concert.
Is it L-A-M-B-Y or L-A-M-M-Y?
L-A-M-M-Y.
Great
question.
Okay, I like that.
She's terrified. She gets on stage.
Poor
and
babe.
I know. So worried about her. And then Chop Chop Master Onion, who taught Parappa karate in his game, is on stage with her. And he's teaching her how to feel better, feel more confident. And at the end of the level, he says, and it's very hard to impersonate Chop Chop Master Onion without sounding like I'm making fun of stereotypical kind of Asian stereotypes, because that's all his voice is, just the the old Chinaman voice that they used to do in the 80s. So I'm going to refrain from doing it just in case.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to play it safe. I did it earlier, though, when I talked about toilets. So, but hey, why two wrongs don't make a right. If I messed up before, I'm going to not mess up this time.
I don't
time.
Remember you messing up with the toilet
maybe,
talk.
Maybe I got away with it. You will decide, okay. Listener and everyone else. So he says, I ran into some big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I had a casino. And I lost it all. But you know what I do now, Lammy? I think about my casino and how happy it makes me and how confident it makes me whenever I run into trouble. Dojo, casino, it's all in the mind. And she's like, yeah. At least I think she is. I was. Huh. I liked it. Yeah, but not confidently because I don't know if I know what he's talking about.
Right, so I'm really trying to hone in on what you're saying too.
Yeah, like I like it, but I'm scared that I don't get it. But it works. She gets into all sorts of trouble after that. She immediately runs into a situation where the whole pizza place is burning down.
What?
And the fire dogs are like, take this hose. We gotta save the pizza. And she's like, okay. And she's holding the hose and she's got to put out a fire. Pretty serious, right? And they start singing about it. Hold the hose real tight and get ready for a real fire. Like very funky. It's very Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh, that hose is going to go wild with the PSI.
She holds the hose and pretends it's a guitar. She says, my guitar is in my mind. So by channeling her confidence she has as a guitarist into another thing she's holding in her hand,
her hose. Oh my God, I need to do this in my waking life.
Your pole is in your mind, Tanya. You've got nothing to lose.
You're right.
Because pole is your guitar, I think.
Was this all for me?
Yeah, I had all this in mind for you.
Oh.
And then next level, so they put out the burning pizza place and they eat the pizzas. Cooked perfectly. The fire burned the pizza to a delicious crispy crust.
Like the perfect melty cheese, not underdone.
Exactly. She eats so much, her belly sticks out and she looks pregnant. So suddenly there's all these couples, rabbits, singing, we're so happy to have a family. And the women are pregnant. Yeah, and there's like rainbows everywhere.
From pizza pregnancies?
No, they're legit pregnant.
Okay.
She's just with them for some reason and looks like a single mom. And this caterpillar who vomits candy and then inhales the candy back into her mouth after she vomits it.
I feel like I'm having a bad trip right now.
I could go on about this. I would wish we could play it. I you've got a PS3 we discovered that plays PS1 and PS2, we played a little Dragon Quest 7. We played a little We Heart Katamari. We see it works. I just got to find my Unjammer Lamy disc and we'll play it. So she's walking down the street with all these people singing, you can babysit only if I'm it. Like, what are you babbling about?
What?
And then the caterpillar's like, meow, like vomiting. It's time for you to have your baby. And just
what?
Ropes in all the moms and looks at Lammy. You look like you're about to do it. Vomits.
Oh my God.
Breathes it in. She's like, oh, I don't think so. And then she digests her food. She doesn't go to the bathroom, but her belly goes down. And then the caterpillar's like super disappointed that she's no longer pregnant. Says, then you take care of this baby. And just throws a baby at her. And the baby...
Things were supposed to go well for her after she got her confidence with the dojo casino.
Not exactly. But she's continually tested. And you see the ante keeps going up. First it's, can you put out a fire? Now it's, can you take care of this baby with this caterpillar nurse who keeps vomiting candy and inhaling it? I asked Rodney Allen Greenblatt, the designer of that caterpillar, what was going on? And I can't find the interview, but he said something along the lines of, yeah, they just told me they wanted her to vomit that stuff and then breathe it back in. I just...
I did what they told me to.
I thought it was weird too, but I was having fun.
This is all from Activision?
No, this was all Sony Japan.
Okay.
Of the 90s. So very different. They don't make games like this anymore. PlayStation, you think of me as probably a more Nintendo leaning guy.
Yeah, I do.
I was 100% PlayStation with a PlayStation 1. Because
I can tell a little bit because of my PS3 and you have stuff for my PS3.
True. PS3 has some games that carried over from the PS2 and the PS1.
Right.
I liked. PS3 is when I almost fully fell off the Sony bandwagon because PlayStation used to be the weird experimental company. They were the newest on the block. Sega had been around, Nintendo had been around, Sony had to prove we're different. We're worth paying attention to. We're not.
Didn't
just
they have like all those
trend.
Weird commercials and stuff too?
Super weird commercials. They had Parappa, they had Umjammer Lamia, they had the series called Jumping Flash, where you're a robot rabbit that can jump like 70 feet in the air. Super fun. Ape Escape, a game where you're just catching apes with a lightsaber net. Catching those monkeys running around. A lot of fun. They used to really get silly and weird. Good times. Not so much anymore. Now they're just like, make it like a Hollywood movie again and again and again. It's a little, yeah. little dry. So Umjammer Lamia, the baby starts yelling at her.
Mm-hmm.
Mama, 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 mama. And she's got to go.
Does she have her guitar back now, or is it still the fire hose?
She's playing the baby like a guitar.
Oh, no.
Really great song. And the kid is nuts. The baby.
Is the baby like...
Yeah. Why won't you give me the car that makes the funny sound? Oh, won't you give me food that makes me feel like $1 million? Like really, really shouting at you about what it wants.
Cool.
And you eventually put it to sleep by treating it like a guitar. You get out of there. Then you got to get on a plane.
Do you abandon the baby?
Yes.
Thank
you get the
God.
Hell out of there.
Yeah.
You don't take ownership of that baby.
Woof.
And the pilot, you're suddenly on a plane and the pilot has some sort of head injury. Where if he gets hit in the head, he gets enraged. And then if he gets hit in the head again...
Why is anybody hitting the pilot in the head? He needs to fly.
The plane is falling apart. Just parts of the plane are falling down, smashing him. He's got all these lumps on his head.
Oh, this is before all of these problems with the planes falling apart.
And before all the problems on the airlines with people like fist fighting all the time on the plane.
That was a big conversation at Thanksgiving.
Oh, was it? The plane stuff?
Yeah, just about how... bad we feel for flight attendants these
days. Oh, yeah.
Days.
I've been buddies with some flight attendants. They clean up a lot of poop, a lot of vomit.
Oh,
and they
now
break
they're
up
getting
a lot of fights.
Just assaulted constantly.
Yeah, a lot of
just
fighting.
Real shitty people on planes these days.
So that's what was happening here. There's a pilot, Fuss and Pepper, I think his name is. And at one point he's like, I hope I don't die. I hope I don't cry. Just kind of babbling to himself. But then getting really pissed after he gets smacked in the head and saying, you think I'm old, you think I'm cold, you think you're right, I never had the gold. Like,
what?
Then you have to
This it really is like a bad dream.
A beautiful dream, depending on who you ask. Then she loses her guitar, she's got to talk to a chipmunk, beaver guy.
You gotta start reining it in and telling me how this works with Activision, why she's going to be the boss.
All right, I'm almost there.
Okay.
She gets a new guitar.
Yep.
And then she goes to hell in the Japanese-only version. She dies.
Oh, my God.
And then gets faxed to hell.
Like an actual fax machine?
Yeah, like a fax
like
machine.
Like she becomes a piece of paper?
Yeah, but they censored it for the United States version. They thought hell was a little too racy, so she just goes to an island.
Okay.
And they had to dub it over like, you'll go to an island instead of you'll go to hell.
Mm.
So much better, the Japanese version. And then she has a big concert. She gets out of hell. And Fran Drescher's in hell.
Okay.
She has just a little Martian-y type lady wearing a dress that makes her look like a mermaid.
Huh.
Real nasal. Fran Drescher voice.
Yeah.
And then she sings a great song with Milk Can. And long story short, she puts the product first. She puts her craftsmanship first.
Oh.
She's an amazing guitarist. Holds herself to high standards. If she screws up, she has to start over. She tries to be cool. She improvises. This is one of the first games ever where if you improvise, you can destroy all of the sheet music that you have to follow. You've played like Guitar Hero and stuff like that. It's just pure sheet music.
I mean, sure, I've watched people play.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
Picture if you did really good at Guitar Hero, if all the notes just went away, and then you just play. Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, cool.
And on top of that, there's a next level of that. If you can follow the sheet music in your mind, you make a chocolate bar appear, if I remember correctly.
Hmm.
So if you follow specific notes to the time without any sheet music, so it's like controlled, planned improv, then you reach another level of cool. So it's really deep. This, I thought, was going to remind you of yourself. You're planning routines all the time on the pole.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you try to improv, but then you're like, but what if I could do next level improv where on the fly, I pull together all my moves and do it right? You.
Well, we call that a freestyle. And it's right. A big part of pole.
Right.
Like, they teach you maybe a sequence or a couple moves that you could string together, but a huge part of it is just doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somehow get into the flow state and find your way to, yeah. It's hard. It's very challenging. And I will say that at times I do walk around in my life wondering what the fuck is happening and why is this being thrown at me? It's wild and unbelievable, yeah. But real.
Yeah. You're talking about pole and your job and your life.
Or just yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Have you ever just like been somewhere and observing just the shit that's happening around you, and you're like, sure. If I told somebody this was happening, they wouldn't believe me. But it's because it's actually happening there, it's just normal.
Mm.
But it's really not normal stuff.
No. No, I'm
that's
sure
probably
it's
not. How Lammy was feeling. She was feeling like, this isn't normal, and I couldn't go ahead and tell people what's happening, but it sure is happening right now.
Yeah. She's just trying to get to the gig. I forgot to mention that.
The whole time is just trying to, like,
the whole thing
is
just, I got to get to the gig on time. She puts it first. But in her process of putting the gig first, putting the product first, not making it about herself, she ends up helping people, caring about people,
yep.
And tapping into her confidence that comes from her care for the artistry.
Yeah.
That's who should be running Activision.
I can't argue with that at all. You're 100% correct. The only problem is she's fictional.
I don't think she's real. Yeah. So if we just put some horns on you, put you in a little, she's got big JNCO pants too. JNCO jeans again.
Oh, I sign me up.
Jammer Lammy.
Did I tell you that I bought a 90s power suit in periwinkle blue?
Amazing.
I was so excited.
Can't wait to see it. Are you going to wear it?
Wide leg. It needs a little tailoring. It's a little tight. But that's what I'd wear if I were to walk into Activision tomorrow.
Periwinkle blue.
Fuck yes.
Let's hope it happens. You never know. Stranger things have happened. 3 seasons of them, in fact, and there's a 4th season.
6 figures, Activision. You can come at me.
Yeah, that's right.
You want me to fix things for you?
Yeah, she'll do it. She'll do it in a week. Let's give her a week, folks. So we're going to wrap up the show.
Yeah, we are.
It's a fun one.
I know. We sort of went off a little bit.
If by we, you mean you, and if by went off, you meant just word for word reenacted, I'm Jammer Lammy. Hoping people like that. Who knows?
Listen, this is our show and we can do what we want on it. People can choose to listen.
I'm sitting there brushing my teeth and I'll just think about Captain Fussin' Pepper all the time. Oh yeah. He talks about how he doesn't want to die. Did I talk about that already? How he hopes he don't cry.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah,
you
could talk about it for days.
I mean, you really love this shit.
Oh, I love this shit. Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah. My knee's in pain. So is my brain. Autopilot on, autopilot off. Like suddenly enraged. Just flipping all these switches. I could go on. So.
I think the thing that gets you is that people thought of this.
They thought of it?
And then. Well, you think of weird shit all the time.
I do.
But then to put it out and have it be like in a game that just gets distributed, like.
Yeah, it was a huge.
And this is like a mascot.
It was, okay, we had a hit with Parappa. We could just make Parappa too. No, let's do this shit. They took the risk, and I love them for it. I wish I could take those kinds of risks myself, but.
You do in your own little ways.
I wrote about NFTs on Destructoid. That was a risk. I think the article is called, What Are NFTs and How Are They Trying to Change Gaming? And that was a big article to try to explain NFTs better, I think, than we have on this show in the past. Really explaining what the heck blockchain is.
You know, I gotta tell you, I read the article and I thought it was really balanced.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I thought it was a fair, it was informative, it was engaging. I'm as somebody who doesn't think about cryptocurrency on the daily, I actually was like, interesting.
Thanks.
Oh, I see what he said there.
That's appreciate good, it. Yeah.
No, it was a fantastic article.
Great to hear. Yeah. I'm numb to it.
I'm not being like...
Oh, I know. You don't have to say that stuff. I hear you. Yeah, so check that out if you're curious about what the heck NFTs are and what the blockchain is and how it could affect how games are made in the future. I'm also writing for Nintendo Force. I just interviewed Dave Oshry of New Blood.
Mm.
He worked on a game called Dusk. A lot of Dusk fans out there. So he's going to be in that magazine. He's flexing his muscles. He's owning a fake chainsaw. It's awfully cute. I got to write a little bit more about him in the interview. So this is a new addition to Nintendo Force. December issue's coming out.
That's great. Did I tell you about what I'm up to these days?
No, tell me about it.
I've been teaching pole dancing now.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm going to do a showcase routine. I'm going to perform for the first time. And I'm very nervous about this.
Aw, that's really exciting.
I'm doing group performances. I'm not going to do a solo. I don't have it in me to do that just yet. But
so lammy.
I'm putting myself out there that's in like different ways.
Pretty much I'm Jeremy Lammy direct.
And I got to tell you, I've never been athletic. So doing something that's a performative athletic thing is really... My 83-year-old dad loves it. That's all that matters.
Spoken like a true Lammy. I don't know how to follow that up.
We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
Bye.